Good morning. Welcome each of you to the Lord's house this morning. We thank you for your presence. It's certainly a joy to see everyone, and thank you also for your attention to the safety protocols during the coronavirus. So I heard there's a little arm wrestling match happening this afternoon about 5:30 down there in Tampa between some guy named Pat and some guy named Tom. Have you heard that rumor as well? We do hope that you'll be able to enjoy the game safely while staying warm inside your homes and with your families this afternoon. And given our little snow and cold outside, snow on the ground, I'm pretty sure that some of our church family are staying warm and safe this morning in their own homes. Well, folks, please do consider your role in staying connected with those in our church family and those in our communities that aren't able to participate here with us in our in-person worship. Human connections are a very important part of our spiritual lives, and while we all struggle with these coronavirus restrictions, we also are grateful that we have things like telephones and email and video chat and various social media platforms that let us reach out to others and let them know that we certainly do care about them. Well, Andrew, good morning. Would you lead our call to worship, please?
Good morning. Please rise for the call to worship. Sing a new song to the Lord. Sing to the Lord, all the world.
Sing to the Lord and praise.
Proclaim his glory to the nations, his mighty acts to all peoples. The Lord is great and is to be highly praised. Let us sing our opening hymn, All Creatures of Our God and King, number 22. We'll sing stanzas 1 and 4.
Hallelujah. and sorrow bear. Praise God who knows your every care. Oh, praise God. Oh, praise God. Alleluia. Alleluia.
We bow for a word of prayer. Loving God, we give you thanks for this winter season, for the beauty of the white snow, and the cleanliness of the crisp and cold air. We also pray for safety and health as we navigate this season, even as we look forward to spring and several more months. Merciful God, we are grateful for the gift of life and for the variety of seasons that we have the privilege to enjoy here in the Berry community of Kansas City. And we're especially grateful for the privilege of being in your house in person, sharing in worship and fellowship together. We ask that we can experience the living presence of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, through the gift of the Holy Spirit as we begin our time of worship and as we pray in the holy name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Take a few moments to greet and welcome those around you before taking your seats.
Good morning to all of you. A joy to see you in the Lord's house this morning, and a number of people for us to remember in prayer as we make our way through the new week. First of all, our sympathies extended to our administrative assistant, Carol, and her husband, Greg, and their family. With the passing of Greg's mother, Anita Studebaker, on Friday of this past week in her hometown of Hutchinson, Kansas. Carol will be out of the office on Thursday and Friday of this week, and we're grateful for Kathy being here to again assist in the office. Kathy, thank you. Our sympathies also extended to Jean Cantola with the passing of her dear friend, Marianne Poston, whom we've been remembering for the last several months. We also want to lift up J.C. Simpson, as she's looking to have foot surgery on Tuesday of this week. Stacy Lustig, who is Lana Witten's daughter, Missy's friend in Oklahoma. She is dealing with stage 3 throat cancer down in Oklahoma, and certainly lifting her up in prayer. We lift up John Adams, as he is continuing his radiation treatments, Mary Jane. And we know he's got Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
Okay. Okay, Monday, Wednesday, Friday this week for the last of the treatments at this point.
What?
Last treatments for this
Thursday,
week.
Friday, last week. Yes.
Okay. We lift up Jerry Treese also as he has found out that he's dealing with the early stages of a type of cancer, and we'll be exploring what avenues of treatment for that. And Betty Foster is continuing to be in rehabilitation at North Kansas City Hospital from that hip surgery, making good progress, hopes to be home by middle of February. Mike Ransdell is still recovering from knee repair surgery, as Sonia Rader is also recovering from surgery. We lift up Kirby in our prayers, and Rihanna also, as we've been remembering them for many weeks. Regarding the coronavirus, we just lift up praise to God that Barbara Mayberry's son, Chris, her daughter-in-law, Debbie, and granddaughter, Jennifer, are all making good progress beyond the virus. So also is Kathy Connell's son, Robbie. Grateful to hear that. And that, Michael, that you are seeing some good progress now with improvement in your breathing. Same is also the case for Curtis Roller's brother-in-law, Bruce. He also is now finally seeing some improvement. We are so grateful for that. We keep lifting up Cindy Sexton's stepmother, Carolyn, Kelly Jackson's mother, Pat, Michelle Jacobo, and certainly others in our midst. May we bow our heads before the Lord's presence this morning. Merciful and loving God, we rejoice in the truth that we worship you on Sunday mornings because Sunday is the day of Christ's resurrection. And as Christ arose from the dead, victorious over sin and death, we are assured in him that as we believe in Christ as Savior, we too are blessed with the gift of eternal life. For as Luke the physician writes in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, "And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." As our nation, O God, marks the deaths of over 450,000 of our citizens from the coronavirus, and the world mourns the loss of 2.3 million people from the same, we realize that many more months will pass before we are beyond the ravages of this pandemic. But as we forge ahead, may we find comfort in knowing that through whatever challenges we may face in our fallible earthly existence, your watchful care never ceases. Even concerning the future, we are reminded from Amos chapter 3, verse 7, that you have never done anything without revealing your secrets through your servants, the prophets. And as 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21 tells us, no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So as we march forward into the unknown circumstances of 2021, may it be with confidence that we truly believe that you and your plan for the salvation of humanity is always first and foremost in charge. For as you tell us through the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 41, verse 10, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." This we pray, as we also recite the prayer our Lord Jesus teaches us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
In this very room, there's quite enough love for one like me. And in this very room, there's quite enough joy for one like me. And there's quite enough hope and quite enough power to chase away any gloom. There's quite enough hope and quite enough power to chase away any gloom. Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, is in this very
room. Good morning. The book of James, chapter 4, verse 8, states, "Come close to God, and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world." Many of us tend to become very busy. We're too busy for Sunday school or Bible study, too busy to volunteer for projects, and too busy to participate in children's services. So busy with all the activities both inside and outside of the church that we just don't have time to spend more than 1 hour a week worshiping God each Sunday morning. Social distancing prohibits many of these activities outside of the church and within the church. There is no Sunday school, no children's church, no dinners or parties or opportunities for fellowship, and few opportunities to volunteer. And yet we still seem so focused on all of the world that we do not realize how precious the time we spend in communion with and service to God is. Our children know. This week I visited with Paige, Evan, and Javon, our featured children on the bulletin insert page this week. School for them is totally virtual. There's no personal contact with teachers or friends, which makes sharing ideas, getting quick answers, and staying connected very difficult. The same things are true of church. Even though Paige and Evan and Javon attend the 11 o'clock service regularly, they really miss children's services. Javon and Evan miss the fun of children's church and being with all their friends in Sunday school. They want so much to be able to come back. Paige reminded me that we were just beginning to form a youth group for our older kids when we had to shut down. She is still excited to get that going. Our children miss us. We miss our children. My prayer for all of us is that we never again become so busy that we have no time to give to our church and our children, that we always remember what a treasure they are. For Matthew 6, verse 21 says, "Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be."
Thank you, Kathy. Kathy has been quite the solid rock for our children's worship services and Sunday school programs here at Berry. I certainly appreciate her work to keep us connected with our children, and it's my hope and hers too that we can someday, hopefully soon, resume our children's ministry programs. Today's community reflection is inspired by Jesus' Sermon on the Mount from the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 16 through 19. May we turn to the community reflection in the bulletin at the bottom of the first inside page. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, "I have not come to do away with the law, but to fulfill it." Whoever obeys the law and teaches others to do the same will be great in the kingdom of heaven. Our lights must shine before people so that they will see the good things we do and praise our Father in heaven. Our hymn of contemplation this morning is number 214, "Rock of Ages, Cleft for Me." We'll sing stanzas 1 and 4.
Rock of Ages.
in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flowed be of sin the double cure. Save from wrath and make me pure. While I draw this fleeting breath, when mine eyes shall close in death, when I soar to worlds unknown, see thee on thy judgment throne, Rock of Ages cleft for me, let me hide myself to thee.
Scripture text I share with you is from the Gospel of Matthew, the 5th chapter, beginning with the 17th verse through the verse of number 20. Do not think that I have come to do away with the law of Moses and the teachings of the prophets, Jesus says. I have not come to do away with any of them, but to make their teachings come true. Remember that as long as heaven and earth last, not the least point nor the smallest detail of the law will be done away with, not until the end of all things. So then, whoever disobeys even the least important of the commandments and teaches others to do the same will be least in the kingdom of heaven. On the other hand, whoever obeys the law and teaches others to do the same will be great in the kingdom of heaven. I tell you then, that you will be able to enter the kingdom of heaven only if you are more faithful than the teachers of the law and the Pharisees in doing what God requires. May we bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Gracious God, we're privileged to be in your house this morning and to hear once again from your word and to understand its meaning for us as we strive to live a life that brings glory to your kingdom in what we do and say. It's in the name of Christ we give thanks. Amen. We have heard the expression, out with the old, in with the new. And it is usually an expression we hear most of all during the beginning of a new year. And it is the idea that the past has to be brushed aside in order to embrace anything new. And with our own Kansas City Chiefs playing in the 55th Super Bowl this evening in Tampa Bay, Florida, I imagine there are a number of folks who'd like to see the new kid outperform the old goat by the close of the game. In the media this past week, certainly a lot has been made of the unique matchup of the oldest quarterback in NFL history, Tom Brady, with the 6 Super Bowl rings, playing against the 5th youngest quarterback to start a Super Bowl game, Patrick Mahomes, who, of course, received his first ring along with his Chiefs teammates in February of 2020. But for all the talk about whether a younger, innovative Mahomes and the Chiefs can outperform the more traditional style of Brady and the Buccaneers, I found it interesting to read about Mahomes' response concerning this evening's matchup. For it isn't about throwing out the old and bringing in the new. It's more about learning from the past to play a better game today. It's noteworthy to realize that Tom Brady was a college freshman 25 years ago in September the 17th of 1995 when Patrick Mahomes was born into the world. And that Patrick looks up and also has significant admiration for and respect for his fellow quarterback. As Mahomes commented in an article for the Tampa Bay Times, I grew up watching him, meaning Brady, play. And he's still here playing. And he's still at the top of the game. So for me, I need to watch him and watch the things he does on and off the field in order to figure out the best way to make me the best player possible. Mahomes also went on to say, and as I continue in my career, I'm going to still try to do whatever I can to watch the tape on him, meaning, of course, Brady, because he's doing it the right way. And you can tell by how many Super Bowl championships he has and the rings that are on his fingers. Thus, for Patrick, competing and striving to win the game is not about throwing out the past and bringing in the new. It's all about learning from and building on the past to improve and to be the best that one can be in the present moment. As I was contemplating this matchup and Mahomes' words, I couldn't help but think of what Jesus said in the midst of his teachings during the Sermon on the Mount. Now, you must understand that many of the comments Jesus made in the Sermon on the Mount sounded very revolutionary in his time period. But it is quite remarkable to see what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. He says, "Do not think that I have come to do away with the law of Moses." And again, remember, this is right in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount here and the teachings of the prophets. "I have not come away to do away with them, but to make their teachings come true." Jesus is saying that he didn't come into the world simply to throw out the old teachings and replace them with the new. He's saying that he came into the world to fulfill the Old Testament teachings, to learn from the past, to build upon it, and to make for a better situation today. Then in verses 18 through 20, Jesus declares that not even the smallest portion of the law is to be done away with. If you look at the Greek language here a little bit closer, it actually is saying you can't even do away with the smallest jot, or in some versions they will use the word the smallest iota. Not an iota is to be forgotten. Now, this is saying that not even the smallest apostrophe, if you were writing a sentence with various letters, you know, apostrophe can often be forgotten. Here, Jesus is saying, you can't even forget the apostrophe of any of what was written in the law. As we read this text, it all seems to be a bit confusing, for there are any number of times in which we see Jesus appearing to go against, or even appearing to neglect, what is believed to be the laws that the Jewish people of his day felt they all had to follow. We remember in Mark chapter 3, verse 6, that the Pharisees made plans to kill Jesus because he dared to heal the man with the paralyzed hand on the Sabbath. We remember in Matthew chapter 12, Jesus' disciples picked wheat kernels from the field and ate them because they were hungry. This would have been considered work that, of course, was forbidden on the Sabbath. But as we understand the context of the law in Jesus' day, we get a much clearer understanding of what law there was, which Jesus said must be honored. For in Jesus, what many of us do not understand, there were actually four different understandings when the words "the law" were referred to. First, the law was the Ten Commandments. Second, the law was the first five books of the Bible, meaning the Pentateuch. Again, those books being what? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Third, the law was the whole of Scripture. And in that era of time, it would have meant the Pentateuch plus what was written by the prophets or for the prophets. And then there was also a fourth segment that was also considered the law. This is in reference to what was called the scribal law, When Jesus declared during the Sermon on the Mount that the believers were to observe and to keep the law, he is really referencing the first three understandings of the law, the Ten Commandments, the Pentateuch, and the law in its entirety, the law and the prophets. In all these understandings, the law that God laid out is broad stroke principles by which people are to have reverence for God, respect for one another, and honor for themselves. We see this clearly even as we take a sample look at the Ten Commandments, in which the first four are about how one should honor God, while the remaining six describe how one should treat one's neighbor as oneself. The scribal law, on the other hand, was the law which Jesus argued against and didn't follow. Over the centuries and generations of Hebrew and Jewish heritage, the scribes tirelessly drew up literally thousands upon thousands of rules and regulations that they believed could be very specific and direct instructions about how one should behave according to certain understandings that God was conveying. For example, we know that the fourth commandment says, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. We also know that in order to honor the Sabbath, one is not to do what? Work. Well, the scribes said, well, if we're not to work on the Sabbath, what then is work? And they wrote and wrote and wrote a multitude of rules and regulations about what was considered work and what was not. Another example, the scribal law declared that even writing was work. If a person wrote two letters of the alphabet on a tablet or anything else that made a permanent mark, that was considered forbidden work on the Sabbath. But if one wrote in the sand or in the dirt where the marks could disappear, that was not considered work. Healing on the Sabbath was considered work. And you know of many instances where Jesus healed people on the Sabbath, right? And it infuriated the scribes and the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. But here's how some of the rules regarding healing were spelled out by the scribes. Healing was allowed when there was danger to life and especially to troubles concerning the ear, the nose, and the throat. In other words, I guess whether you could breathe. Steps could be taken to keep a patient from becoming worse, like putting a plain wadding on one's bleeding ear. But no ointment could be added to the wadding, for this then would be forbidden. Over the centuries, a never-ending tidal wave of tedious rules and regulations evolved that made everyday life extremely difficult, if not impossible, for the average Jewish person. Only the most extreme, orthodox, and wealthy Jewish people had the means to maintain all of these idiosyncratic laws and regulations not spelled out by the Torah or the Ten Commandments, etc., but spelled out by the writings of the scribes, which by the time of Jesus involved volumes upon volumes of material. The scribal law, therefore, was the law that Jesus ignored and repeatedly broke. But the essence of the law, described in the original text of the Bible, were to be remembered, honored, and obeyed. Not even an iota of that law was to be forgotten. For in essence, the law is one's desire to honor God and care for others. You remember that Jesus declares in the Gospel of Mark chapter 12, verse 30, as he references back to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and Leviticus 19, the understanding of the law that all of us should be able to remember and recite automatically. goes like this. Love the Lord your God with what? All your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. And love your neighbor, what? As you love yourself. This is the entirety of the law and the prophets, is it not? And how is it then that Jesus fulfills the teachings of the law in the Old Testament? It is by the fact that he indeed is the Messiah whom the Old Testament had prophesied. We remember that as a guest speaker on the Sabbath in the synagogue of his own hometown of Nazareth, after reading the assigned text of Isaiah chapter 61 that speaks of the coming Messiah, Jesus then sits down to share what then would be considered the homily on the text. As he declares in Luke chapter 4, verse 21, this passage of Scripture has come true today, as you heard it being read, as he is declaring himself at that very moment to indeed be the Messiah. And as Jesus also declares in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father except by me. And he goes on to say in the seventh verse, now what you have known me, now that you have known me, you will know my Father also. And from now on, you do know him. And you have seen him. In other words, you've seen God through Jesus. So you see, whether one is competing in the 55th Super Bowl, or whether one is simply making one's way through daily life, it's never really about throwing out the old just to bring in the new. Real life and faith are all about understanding our past heritage and experiences, learning from them, building on them, and making life better today as we strive to honor God and love others, as did Christ our Lord. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, today is that day you can come forward and accept Christ in a way I know your life can be transformed. But today can be your day to come forward and become a part of our fellowship here at Berry Christian Church as we turn to our hymn of invitation. In the flyer, it's number 602, O Master, Let Me Walk With Thee. May we stand and sing stanzas 1 and 4, please. House this morning, may we bow our heads in prayer. Lord God, as we depart from your house, we know your Spirit abides with us as we strive to abide by the law in such a way that our actions and our words bring glory to your kingdom's work as we journey through each day. Guide us today and always, for it is in Christ's name we give thanks for the privilege to worship you this day.
Now depart in thy peace, blessed Jesus. Send us to our homes with God's love in our hearts. Let not the busy world claim all our loyalty. us ever mindful, dear Lord, of Thee. Let us now depart in Thy peace, blessed Jesus. Send us to our homes with God's love in our hearts. Let not the busy world claim all our loyalties. Keep us ever mindful, dear Lord.